Hey everybody, welcome back to the channel. Hope you guys are doing well. And so last week I did a sermon about calling upon the name of the Lord. And I think I might have mentioned this, that, you know, preaching sermons like that, sometimes it can be kind of nerve-wracking because it's easy to say something that could be misconstrued. And so what we're going to do in this sermon is we're just going to start at Zacchaeus and we're going to look at some of the different salvations in the New Testament and just kind of go through them. Just talk about the different aspects that God leaves in the Bible for us to understand. I think this will help your soul winning. I think this will just be an encouragement to you. And remember this, okay? I've heard this before. I've heard people say, you know, people get saved in all different kinds of ways in the Bible. Some people get saved by preaching. Some people just get a revelation. Other people just come to it on their own, okay? None of that's true. Okay, though different aspects are recorded and left for us to read in the Bible for each salvation story, everyone sees the power of God through the Word of God. That is consistent, and you're going to see that in this sermon. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Here's Brother Josh reading 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and God bless.
1 Corinthians chapter number 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible reads, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Brother Evan, would you please pray for us?
All right, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So in this chapter, Paul's, one of the things he mentions is about everybody being of the same mind. I'm looking around and just about everybody in here is color coordinated. Like, this side's all black. blue over here. I guess we're doing a good job. So I just noticed that. That's very interesting. But it's not what I'm preaching about this evening. So, but that does prove something, right? We're all working towards one mind. So I'm happy about that. So, all right, look down at verse number 18 real quick, though. In chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 18. So Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And you look down at verse 23, he says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." So there's definitely, you know, different various ways that people stumble, but there's only one way that people get saved, okay? So what we're going to do this evening is we're just going to do something a little bit different. We're just going to kind of flow through the New Testament here and just look at the ways that people get saved. And I don't mean ways like there's more than one way to get saved, but I mean just, you know, all the aspects of each salvation in the Bible are a little bit different, okay? Now, though all the aspects and the information around these salvations appear a little bit different, you're going to see that they're all the same because everyone sees the power of God through the Word of God. That's what they all have in common. Okay? There is absolutely zero difference. The thing that we have to learn as we go through this, though, is that God just wants us to see that. Okay? He just wants us to see that it's all by Him and all by believing. So let's back up here. You can leave your place there in 1 Corinthians, but why don't you guys go to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19 is where we're going to kind of start this off this evening. We're going to start off with Zacchaeus, and then we'll end at Sergius Paulus in Acts chapter number 13. So let's take a look at Zacchaeus and his salvation story in the New Testament. So let's look down here at chapter 19, verse number 1. So the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Okay. You know, I give rich communities and things like that a hard time. All of us do because we see the fruits of that. But here's a clear example of somebody who is going to be saved and he's rich. A lot of people like to kind of dwell here and be like, "Well, he got rich from stealing." And I'm sure there was some of that going on here. But the point is, okay, this is a salvation story. Look at verse number 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. So again, a couple of quick things, very basic right off the bat. It doesn't matter your financial status or obviously, you know, your genetic makeup here. Look at verse number 4. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." So obviously you can see the zeal in this guy. He really wants to find out the deal and the scoop with Jesus. So much so that he's climbing up this tree here. Look at verse 5. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Okay, and so what do we see here? This picture, the Word of God going out to Zacchaeus. Okay, and obviously another thing that we can learn from this is that when people are seeking the Lord, he's going to be found. Okay, that's just a truth that you find time and time again in the Bible. Look at verse number 6. "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." That's always bugged me, you know, that attitude. Oh, he's eating in the house of a sinner. It's like, have you looked at yourself? Have you audited yourself? So you're not a sinner. These people are still alive and well today. We all know that. Okay. So you've got the world here looking in at this transaction that's about to take place. Zacchaeus is after Jesus. He wants to see who he is, what he's about. Jesus speaks to him and is just like, "Hey, I need to abide at your house." Instantly, he's like, "Okay, I'm going to take you there." Okay. Now look at verse number 8. "Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, I've sat in church services where they've preached this, okay? And they say, right here, he was already saved because he was obedient and followed Jesus and brought him into his house. So that's like bringing him into his heart. And then works followed, see? So you got to have the works. But is that really what's going on here? Okay, look at verse number 9. And Jesus said unto him, so keep in mind, okay, verse 8. So he brings him to the house, he just stands up. He's like, oh, by the way, Lord, so I'm doing this good stuff, okay? I know I'm the richest, maybe not the richest, but I'm a rich, you know, tax collector for the Roman government here, and I'm always paying people back, okay? Yeah, we all know what happens when we make these claims, but he's emphasizing his works and how good he is, okay? Verse number 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day, okay, so not what you just did, not what you do, but this day, okay, this day right here, right now, this day is what? What is that next word? This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Okay, so again, just another clear example here of somebody getting saved, them saying, hey, I'm interested in Jesus. I want to know. I'm looking for him. Here's what I've got to offer. Here's what I'm doing. Here's my works, okay? And Jesus, like, doesn't even address that. He's like, no, no, today, this day, salvation is come to this house. Now, we're not given the full dialogue here of what took place, and that's going to come into play later, okay? But you should be able to understand what's going on here. Jesus is like, no, this day, salvation is come to the house, meaning I am salvation. And of course, we know that only God can give salvation. And then, of course, he clarifies in verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which, here it is, was lost. Because you only was lost one time and then you become saved forever. Okay. So again, though people try to say, well, you know, all of them are a little bit different. People get saved a little bit different ways. It's really not true. It's just that the stories are recorded different. We get to see different aspects, different things people said in different points in a conversion. But at the end of the day, everyone sees the power of God through the word of God. And that's what you have going on right here. So same book, go over to chapter number 23 real quick. Chapter number 23. And let's look at the thief on the cross. Luke chapter number 23. So look down at verse number 32. So obviously crucifixion here, verse 32 says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Okay, verse 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So you get that clear picture there of what's going on. Okay. Now, just for sake of time, skip over to verse number 40. Now, I'm back up to verse 39. Okay, and look at this. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Okay, so here you have a guy saying, oh, save yourself and us if you're really God, okay? Now, some people say, well, he's crying out for God. I think maybe he got saved. No, I don't think so. You got to pay attention to what the Bible's telling you. The narrator is saying he's railing, okay? So he doesn't even believe this. He's upset that he's in the position that he's in. He's just like, if you're really God, then save yourself and save us. So he's no different than the crowd below. He's no different than the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or the other chief rulers of the synagogues that are happy that he's on that cross. Okay, now look at verse number 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Okay, so that's what he's saying. And I'm going to show you something interesting about this guy here. But look at verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. It sounds like he understands who Jesus is and that he's absolutely not guilty, but he's still in the same condemnation as the other two, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So we have another conversation going on here, okay? But what do you notice here, okay, if you read these? One person's heart is not in it. The other person's heart is, okay? Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That simple, okay? So the question is, did this malefactor here, did he call upon the name of the Lord? Did he believe? Okay. The answer is obviously yes. He did both of those right then and there. And it's interesting that he actually has a change of heart. Okay. Look at, go back to the Gospel of Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. So parallel passage here. Matthew chapter 27. And look at verse 38. So verse 38. Then there were two thieves, plural, crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Of course, another picture of how the world likes to taunt and just rail on God. So look at this here in verse 41. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, verse 42, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Verse 43, He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And now back to the thieves here, verse 44. The thieves also, okay, so these are those thieves, plural, that were mentioned in verse 38. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Okay, so at the first, both of these guys are echoing the crowd below, and they're not happy, okay? But somewhere along the line, when we read Luke's account, one guy has a change of heart, okay? One guy actually considers all that's been done and realizes, wait a second, I think we've been played here, okay? And so he says to the other thief, hey, you know, don't you understand what's going on here? Like, we're in the same condemnation, like, we're guilty, okay? But he's not, okay? So what do we learn there? Again, how does salvation come? By believing, okay? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, making Christ the object of your faith. He clearly does that when you rightly divide the word of truth. And of course, you know, people will use this and say, see, you know, this is the only exception in the Bible where somebody didn't have to get water baptized in order to be saved. And we know that that's obviously false doctrine there. Let's move on though, okay? We got Zacchaeus, we got the thief on the cross. Now let's take a look at Acts chapter number 2. Go to Acts chapter number 2. So some of these are crossovers from last week, but I just thought it'd be kind of fun to sail on through the New Testament, just looking at different salvations and, you know, basically pointing out that they're all the same. Again, everyone sees the power of God through the word of God. The thief on the cross, same thing, no different. No different than Zacchaeus, okay? Different situations, different things mentioned, okay, for both characters, but the process, which is not really a process, it's an instantaneous event, happened the same way to both men. So Acts chapter 2, let's take a look here again at Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost to the crowds, and let's see what this has to say. So look at verse 37. Verse 37 says, So now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? And again, I talked about this last week, why we have what's called a sinner's prayer. Remember, it is a tool for us. It's a tool. That's what it is. It's a tool for us to help us to ensure that we're being clear and that we're being thorough. Remember that spiritual CT scan. Okay, it's the same thing. Look at verse 38. You just leave people hanging. Sometimes they're just like, well, okay, great. What do I do now? You know, come on, help me out here. Help me get converted. And you see that, and you're going to see that over and over again in the New Testament, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, understand this word remission. What does that mean? It means cancellation. Okay. Of this, I mean, I think I might have mentioned this last week. There's bumper stickers. There's an entire denomination in split offs built off of this verse here. Okay, if you run into the wrong crowd out there, they're going to throw Acts 2:38. You know, these apostolics, Pentecostals, sometimes you'll knock on their doors and they'll be like, I'm an Acts 2:38 Christian. Okay, are you? Okay, when they come at you with that, you have to be ready and understand they're trying to divide repent and baptize into like these different categories, okay? And that's wrong. That's not what we're being taught here. Then Peter said unto them, why? Because they asked. Why did they ask? Because he was preaching. Why was he preaching? Because he was sent. What is he going to do? Well, they believe because they're like, what do we do? You know, he's going to finish the deal here. And so again, what does he say though? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We know that water baptism does not save anyone. That is a ritual that we do to demonstrate and make a public profession of faith before others. Okay, so if they repent or change their minds, okay, put their faith on Christ, being baptized or converted, placed into the body of Christ, what is the result? The result is a cancellation of the sins, okay? Remission of sins, gone forever. And he says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Peter's answer here is get converted, get sealed. Okay, get converted and get sealed. Now, keep your place right there because we're going to go to Acts chapter 3 in just a second, but go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And like with all the apostles, okay, you'll find that they have a signature as they write. John likes certain words, Paul likes certain words, Peter likes certain words. And through each one of these guys, okay, you get to learn different things and get to enhance your knowledge in basic doctrine. So Peter likes to use the word baptize, and obviously he's not the only one, but I just want to bring this up here. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 2. 1 Peter 3, look at verse number 2. He says, oh, that's the wrong verse. Look at verse 21. Yeah, look at verse 21. I'm sorry, look at verse 21. It says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Okay. Now, what is he saying there? The like figure. So he's talking about the story of the flood with Noah. And he says the like figure. Okay. So in similitude, so similarly, okay. In like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. So when people say, well, baptism doesn't save you. Okay. You have to get clarification and understand what they're talking about because this is very clear here. He's not saying things out of order. He's not saying things backward or backwards. He's telling you very plainly that baptism does save you. Okay, but look at what he means. And who has gone, I'm sorry, he says, verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And here it is, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How does somebody get that good answer into their conscience? Because they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been baptized or placed into the body of Christ. And you can go read Romans chapter 6 on your own time. We'll obviously cross that road here in about 6 weeks, 7 weeks. But you get the picture here. This is not talking about water baptism. It's about conversion. That is what he is talking about there. But he's clearly saying that it's not by putting away the filth of the flesh, but by believing the gospel, the resurrection. Okay, that is a baptism. That is how Peter likes to speak. Now, he also speaks in a different way. Go to Acts chapter number 3, and we can further prove what I'm saying. Acts chapter 3, so same thing going on here. Peter preaching the word of God and doing what they're doing. Look at verse number 19. Actually, you know what? Look at verse 17. So Peter preaching here, he says, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Okay, so mentioning how they put the Lord to death and saying, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here that a lot of you did this ignorantly, okay, as many of the rulers. But verse 18, he says, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Verse 19, look what he says now. Repent ye therefore. Okay, so repent ye for that reason. Trust him for that reason and be converted. Okay, you see that? And be converted. This is the same language that he was using in chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. So get converted, get sealed, get saved. That's what he's telling them. Why does he have to tell them to get baptized? Get converted. Because it's their choice. That's why. Because God is not a Calvinist. That's why. So what does he say? Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now go back to chapter number 2. We'll just kind of finish this conversation between Peter and the crowd. So again, the process, again, it is the same for every conversion story in the Bible, okay? Somebody was sent, they preach the word of God, the people that believe the word of God call. I mean, they make that decision to trust, okay? That is very clear in the scriptures. But again, he's not telling the people in chapter 3 to get saved a different way than he is in chapter 2. The Bible's giving us a broader vocabulary and giving us a better understanding of what the word baptism can mean. Remember, it means to be placed into or to identify with. Okay, you have to pay attention to context when you're reading the Bible. Verse 39. For the promise, okay, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And of course, that's what we're trying to do as a church. Go out, tell people, hey, here's the truth. Here's the word of God. Now save yourself by you making the decision to follow or to trust and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Okay, so save yourselves, verse 40, from this untoward generation, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Were baptized. Again, these 3,000 people, it doesn't say they ran down to the nearest pool and all jumped in, or Peter dunked them all. Now, did they get water baptized later on? I'm sure, maybe, you know, a lot of them did. It doesn't say, but we're talking about conversion. And again, it's the same process. It's the word of God, people that believe, receive. That's it, okay? And they are what? They're converted. God seals them until the day of redemption. They're baptized, they're converted, whatever. There's many different ways to say it, but it's the same thing. Everyone sees the power of God through the word of God. Okay, people saying, well, no, I just looked at a person's testimony and that was enough for me. You don't find that in the Bible. Oh, wow, you live such a great sanctified life and you never make any mistakes and you always get it right. I'm going to be saved. You just don't see that anywhere. Okay, verse 41 again, though. Then they that gladly received his word. Why does it say that? Because not everyone there received the word. But a lot of them there probably did understand and hear it, okay? But the other group gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls converted. Okay, go to Acts chapter number 8. Let's take a look at the Ethiopian eunuch here. This here's one of my favorites because it just includes everything that we do. And it's just such an easy place to go to show somebody when they have questions like, hey, I want to get baptized. A lot of times you'll try to give somebody the gospel and they're just like, well, all they can think about is water. Get me to the water. Okay. I just need to get water baptized. It's like, hold on, man. Like you need to get saved first. Then we can talk about that. Okay. Then we'll do the baptism. Okay. You need the dry baptism first. That's what I'm trying to say. So this story, obviously very familiar to all of us. Look at verse 35. So the Ethiopian eunuch sitting down, he's reading from Isaiah. God tells Philip, hey, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing, there's a guy here, he's interested. Go join yourself to his chariot. Philip hears that. What does he do? He runs. He doesn't waste any time. Okay, he's like, I'm going right now to connect with this guy and to get him saved. Verse 35. And of course, Philip asks him, hey, understand what thou readest? And he's like, how can I except some man guide me? Verse 35, once Philip hears that, he's like, okay, good. This guy is teachable. This guy is ready for the truth. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, okay? Now, here's another thing that I just always like to highlight here. We don't get the full conversation. We don't know everything that was said here, but we get the whole point, and that is what? Well, the Ethiopian eunuch sees the power of God through the word of God. What do we have here? What are the ingredients? Well, we've got Philip. Who's Philip? He's an evangelist. He's preaching the word of God. He was sent. Who sent him? God sent him, okay? Preaching the word. The eunuch believes. Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And I like Philip's answer here, okay? He's just not like, yeah, you have to get baptized in water or you're not right, you're this or that, okay? That's not what he says. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So now we can step back and learn something here that it's very likely that Philip began at that same scripture and then obviously went into Jesus and probably mentioned John the Baptist, probably mentioned water baptism and the significance of that because he was thinking about it. And when he saw water, he's like, hey, what does hinder me to be baptized? And what's the requirement? What is the prerequisite to get water baptized here? Philip says, if thou believest. Okay, and he makes him on his own accord. Hey, if you believe, then you can. And he's like, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water. So again, just a clear picture of baptism being placed into. Philip placed that Ethiopian eunuch into the water, went down there with him. He didn't go get a gardening pot and just a couple of cups of water and just sprinkle it on him. Okay, no, it was a complete dunk, a complete covering, okay, just like the Bible teaches. And of course, that's not what the sermon's about, but I just like to point it out. Verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What a great story there. So now let's go to Paul in Acts chapter number 9. Paul, Acts chapter number 29. So again, you're starting to see this here. Okay, we don't get to see Zacchaeus get baptized. Obviously, the thief on the cross doesn't get baptized in water. We don't see that, but we get that picture here. But the ingredients are the same. Okay, and remember, different aspects, but everyone sees the power of God through the Word of God. That's the point here. Now, again, let's take a look at the Apostle Paul here. So chapter number 9, Paul is on his way to end life. He is on his way to destroy the lives of Christians. And little does he know, he's about to lose his physical sight. And the next time he sees, his life is going to be dramatically different, never the same again. So, of course, Jesus calls to Paul on the road to Damascus and just basically say, you know, it's pretty hard for you doing what you're doing there, Paul. It's kind of hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? And of course, Paul's trembling and he's like, Lord, what can I do for you? What's going on here? And so Jesus obviously gives Paul some instructions and then goes and gives a man by the name of Ananias some instructions to go meet Paul. And there's a little bit of resistance here because Ananias is like, Lord, hey, this is the guy that's been inhaling Christians and putting them to death and just, you know, just really coming after him. And the Lord tells Ananias, don't worry about it. He's a chosen vessel unto me and he's going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So go thy way and do as I commanded. And so we're going to pick it up right here in verse number 17 in chapter 9. Acts 9:17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Okay. So I'm not here to dispute I'm not here saying, hey guys, Paul never got baptized in water. I don't want you to get that impression. I'm sure he did. Okay. I'm sure he did because he baptized people later on. But what I want you to see here is what this means. So go to chapter number 22 real quick. Acts chapter 22. Because when Paul's giving his testimony here in Acts chapter 22, we get a clear and concise picture of how this happened here and why this is so important for us to understand in regards to salvations in the Bible. So Acts chapter number 22, I'm going to have you look over at verse number 14, I think. Acts chapter 22, yeah, well, let's do verse 14. So Paul says this. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Paul's recounting that situation on the road to Damascus. And he's just basically recanting that. And he says, or recalling that rather. He says, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So, of course, Paul's remembering the words of Ananias here. He's giving his salvation story. Verse 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Okay, now look at verse 16. And now, I mentioned this the other day, okay, and now, why tarriest thou? Okay, so remember, okay, Ananias is like, hey, what are you doing here? What's going on? This is not something you're going to sit here and dwell on. Why tarriest thou? Arise, now look what he says, and be baptized. Okay, and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So again, when people come at you and they say, you know, your church, you don't really need to go out there and just tell people to get saved and to just preach at people and tell them to call upon the Lord. You know, you don't have to bring them to that point. They should be able to come to that on their own. My question is, why does Ananias do it? Okay. Ananias clearly says, hey, Paul, why tarriest thou? Why wait around? Okay. You've just heard what the Lord said to you. Okay. I'm here to preach the Lord to you. I'm here to clarify that to you and open up your eyes so you can see again. And he says, be baptized. What is he telling him? Hey, get converted. Get converted, you know, get saved right now. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So obviously he's not talking about water in this specific point here. Why? Because water baptism doesn't wash away thy sins. We as Baptists, you know, a lot of times sometimes we just get so fixated on baptism, water, 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 that sometimes we read these things and it's just like, oh, water, water, water. You know, oh, maybe he's saying it backwards. He's not saying anything backwards, my friend. Okay. He's telling him to get saved. He's telling Paul, call upon the name of the Lord. Make the choice right now in your heart and get saved. Oh, well, he only did that in his heart. It doesn't tell you how he did it. Okay. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. The very next thing that we see Paul doing is preaching Christ in the synagogues. Okay. That is for a fact. So either way you have it, again, this salvation story, you know, this testimony here, again, what do we see? Paul sees the power of God through the word of God. What does he do? He gets saved. He gets converted, gets sealed. Okay. Converted and sealed. No different. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Let's look at Cornelius. Cornelius and his fellows. And we only got one more after this and we're going to be done. I just thought this would definitely be good. It's good to be familiar with a lot of these salvation stories in the New Testament. We could go through the Old Testament some other time, but let's look at chapter 10 here and go all the way over to verse number 40. And so the situation here is very interesting. Here you have a Gentile, okay? And this Gentile, this Roman guy, Cornelius, the Bible says that he's been praying and he's not even saved. Okay. He's been praying. He does alms. He does good things. I mean, he's doing the best that he can, okay, with what he's got. And the Bible does say that his prayers come up before God. And so God responds and God basically tells him, hey, you're going to go meet up with a guy named Peter. And he tells Peter, you're going to go and get Cornelius saved. And there's, again, some resistance there. Okay? There's a little Jewish supremacy still lingering in the heart of these soul winners. Okay? And he's just like, you know, no unclean thing. And then, of course, God gives him a vision, clears that up, and they're going to meet. Okay, so let's see what we can glean from this. Is it different? Is it the same? Verse 40. So Peter preaching here, when they finally meet up with Cornelius and his men, it says, and him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So again, what is Peter doing here? He's doing what he does. He is preaching Christ, preaching the gospel. Okay. In each story, we get different, and I don't want you to think different as in bad, but we just get different pieces of the soul winning interaction here. And what do we learn? We learn it's all the same, but we also get better at our own soul winning by looking at these things. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words. Okay, so as he's preaching in this situation here, okay, what happens? The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what you call low-hanging fruit. Go to chapter number 11 and we'll look at Peter retelling the story here. And there's a few more things I want you to see. Okay. The girls might remember this. We were in Tacoma soul winning. This is many years ago. And one night we had knocked on this lady's door and she's like, right off the bat, I mean, she was like in tears a little bit, just kind of shook up. And she's like, so you're not a Mormon, not a Jehovah's Witness? And I'm like, no, we're from Liberty Baptist Church. We're just going around preaching the gospel. She's like, I got to hear this. So she comes outside and she's like, I got to stop you real quick. She's like, I was just out. I've been praying that God would just send me somebody that tell me like what I have to do to know that I'm not going to go to hell. Like that is what she was concerned about. Okay. And I'm like, well, that's a great story. And she tells me this group that she met at Walmart just that day. She just happened to run into this guy. She wasn't looking for him. He just happened to stop her in the parking lot, gave her some weird kind of a track. And of course it was repent of your sins, all this works garbage, get baptized in water, all this stuff. And she's like, I'm just out of my mind right now because I can't live the life that they're telling me I have to live. I'm not married with this guy that's in here right now, who's crazy, by the way. And he was. So anyways, I start preaching her the gospel. Okay. And I mean, by the time I was just right past Revelation. I mean, she's starting to put stuff together. She's like, are you going where I think you're going? And I'm like, I don't know what you're thinking, you know? And so I'm just going through my plan, you know, going through the plan. I get to John and she's like finishing the sentences. She's like, I'm starting to understand this and I'm believing this. She's like, oh, hurry up and pray. I'm like, hold on. I really want to explain eternal security. I get you believe right now. And I get that, but I just really want to finish this whole thing. She kind of reminds me of this situation here. Okay. Let's just say hypothetically. Okay, I'd already preached the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection. She's believing it. She knows it's not by work. She's telling me very clearly, like, this is it. This is an answer to my prayers. If she would have dropped dead right there, she would have been saved. 100% would have been saved, okay? And that's what I'm trying to bring to your attention. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse number 13. Of course, I was able to finish giving her the gospel and, you know, she did the whole prayer, all that stuff here. But again, I used that as a tool to gauge if I was being clear. And of course, this was just one of those situations where she obviously had a lot of prior knowledge and knew, but I mean, she was getting it. Like she was like, I know exactly what you're going to say next. It's forever. Of course, we can't work for it, you know? And that's what I see here. So look at Acts chapter 11 and verse number 13. So as Peter's preparing to give his account, because people are calling him on the carpet now and saying, hey, what are you doing with these Gentiles? Remember, we stick together. We don't eat with these unclean folks. And you know, Jews are the best. Not so much. I'm obviously just joking around, but look at verse 13. It's pretty similar. So Peter explaining the vision and how this went down, verse 13, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now look at verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Okay, now because of that here, I'm not going to take time tonight to go to the Philippian jailer. You guys get that? Okay, but again, what do we see here? Okay, when we put these two stories together and we read chapter 10, now we know that when Peter spake words and they got saved, what was he doing? He's preaching the word of God, okay? Not fleshly words of wisdom. He wasn't getting all super cute and creative. He didn't put on a magic show and pull a rabbit out of a hat and say, see, here's eternal life, believe because of my great tricks. No, okay? Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Again, time and time again, it is the same for everyone in the Bible. Everyone sees the power of God through the word of God. They believe and receive. That's it. Verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And of course, after that, the Jews are like, well, then Gentiles are granted eternal life as well. So it is what it is. So that pacifies the Jews in the area. So last one for tonight, Sergius Paulus, Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. But just a little bit, you know, interesting in that story there, because these guys, I mean, they, you know, Cornelius already was just desperate and just really wanting to get saved. He just didn't know how. He needed a preacher to preach him the word of God. So as Peter's preaching, it's like that woman that we got saved that I just told you about. She just believed right then and there, just instantaneous, okay? Saved. That's what happened to those guys as well. Now, did they call upon the name of the Lord? Of course they did. They started speaking tongues and magnifying the Lord and so on and so forth. They were converted just like everybody else we've looked at, just like we're going to see here. It's the same thing. So Sergius Paulus, and then we're done. Acts 13, look at verse number 6. So of course we've got Paul preaching the gospel here. Obviously, Luke is there, but also John is there, the Apostle John. But let's look at verse 6. It says, when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So again, kind of similar to Cornelius, but this guy here, you know, he's like, you know what? I've been hearing this gospel message go around. I want to know more about it. I want to know what it is. So he's like, hey, go get Paul and Barnabas and let me hear the gospel. And of course, Elymas is like, I'm not down with this. I don't want you to hear that. So he's going to try to prevent this gospel presentation from taking place. Okay. Verse 8. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And of course, there's nothing new under the sun. We all deal with that from time to time out there. Verse 9, then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Okay? So again, Paul, the apostle, who's saved, okay, who's filled with the Holy Ghost right here, does this. Okay? So when people say, oh, I can't believe you don't like it when people interrupt your soul winning, well, this is why right here. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. So interesting here how Paul understood the subtlety in which this guy was trying to operate with before we got here. That's really a message for another day. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Now, why does Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, call this guy a child of the devil? Because those are the types of people that try to stop other people from getting saved most of the time. Okay. Now, obviously, everybody's had and seen stories where, you know, and we've had this before, where you're giving the gospel to somebody and their dad comes home and they're upset. And then you go back a year later and the dad gets saved. I've seen that. Okay. Sometimes that happens. But in this situation here, okay, this guy's already a sorcerer and he's just got a history. And Paul just recognizes right off the bat that he's full of all mischief. He's a child of the devil. He says, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Okay, it's posed as a rhetorical question there because the answer is no. He's not going to stop. There is nothing that Paul can say here that is going to stop him. He's not going to be like, will you please leave or please just listen to the gospel. I'm here. Just listen to it. I can change your mind on sorcery. I can change it. You know, I've got apologetics. No. Okay. There's no reasoning with these types of people. So what does he do about it? Well, he's got to remove this guy from the equation if this dude's going to get saved. Verse 11. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. It's the last we hear there. Verse 12. Okay. Again, remember, everyone sees the power of God through the word of God. Okay. Paul is filled with the Holy Ghost here. This is a special circumstance. We don't have the power to do this today, but the deputy here, he can see that that power clearly came from Christ. Verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So obviously, okay, again, we're not given all the words here that took place, okay? Obviously, there was a conversation, there was preaching, there was the word of God that took place. So again, though different aspects of each conversion, you know, seem to vary throughout the different stories, they're all the same, okay? Everyone sees the power of God through the word of God, and there is no denying that. It's the same thing, okay? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. It's very, very easy to do, but in this day and age, and even in their day and age, it was very hard to find people sometimes that wanted to humble themselves and just believe it, but that's what it is. So, we're just going to go ahead and stop it right there for this evening. Again, I just wanted to kind of bring those up. I think it's good to be familiar with these stories in the Bible in case people bring them up to you, have questions. You know, you got an extra resource to be able to quickly point to somebody and say, hey, they're all the same. People got saved in the Bible the same way. And we could go back to the Old Testament. Same thing, okay? They see the power of God through the word of God. So no word of God, no salvation. It's as simple as that. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again for this church and for all that you do for us. I just pray you bless the fellowship, Lord. Keep us safe and bring us back again safely this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.